invite you to open your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to start reading in verse 12 in just a moment. This is our continuation of our journey through 2 Corinthians. I'm calling this series Hope for Cracked Pots, and that's a lot of us. Today we're going to talk about chained to his chariot. I'm going to be talking to you about what it means to live the victorious Christian life. I heard a funny story not long ago about a couple who were walking through the mall, and there was a pet store in the mall, and in front of the pet store, there was a perch upon which was a talking parrot. And that parrot had a bad reputation of saying mean and unkind things to the shoppers. So this couple approaches the parrot, and the parrot looks at the man and says, "You know what?" The man says, "What?" The parrot says, "You're fat and your wife is ugly." And the man was so insulted, he went in and complained to the owner of the pet store. And the pet store grabbed that parrot by the neck and took it inside and shook it and said, "That's it. Not anymore. Next time you say something unkind, you'll no longer be a live parrot. You'll be a stuffed parrot. Understand?" The parrot went like this, and he put the parrot back on the perch. Well, wouldn't you know it, just a few minutes later, here comes the same couple walking in the opposite direction. They stop in front of the parrot. The parrot looks at the man and says, "You know what?" The man says, "What?" The parrot cuts his eyes over at the store owner and says, "You know what?" Well, you know, when it comes to the victorious Christian life, I think most Christians know what it is. We just sometimes don't understand how we can appropriate it. So today I'm going to talk to you about this. And before we get into the message, I've just got to preface it with a couple of personal remarks. There were two men who had a tremendous impact on my ministry who both focused on this passage we're going to look at today. One was Ron Dunn, the longtime pastor and Bible teacher. Ron preached a message called Chained to the Chariot many times. In fact, when he used to write letters to me, he would sign it by saying, "Chained to the Chariot, Ron Dunn." And now he's in heaven. Now, the other individual was the pastor of the Peninsula Bible Church in Palo Alto, California. His name was Ray Steadman. I often quote him. He also is one of my spiritual mentors who had so much impact on my ministry. Ray Steadman said that 2 Corinthians 2:14, that we're going to read in just a moment, was his favorite verse in all of the Bible. When I heard Ron Dunn first preach on this, I have to tell you that it literally changed my life and changed my ministry. There are some messages that you remember for a few moments. There are some that you remember for a few days. But for me, this message was one I've remembered for the last 30 years. So you can understand why I approach it with a higher than normal sense of responsibility and a deeper sense of excitement as I get to share with you this truth that maybe you've never heard before about being chained to his chariot. Well, having said that, let's look at the text, 2 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to read verses 12 through 14. And would you please join me in standing as we honor God through the reading of his word? Now, remember, the Apostle Paul is writing back at the church at Corinth, and he's actually struggling. He's going through some tough times. In fact, he says in verse 12, "Now, when I went to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ and found that the Lord had opened a door for me," listen to this, "I still had no peace of mind." In other words, he's frustrated. He's mixed up. He's even lonely because he says, "Because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I said goodbye to them and went on to Macedonia." And then he makes this amazing expression of praise and thanksgiving. And here's our focus verse for the day. "But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him." Now, Heavenly Father, I pray that there'll be someone here today, and perhaps many, who for the first time will understand this glorious truth of what it means for us to be chained to your chariot. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. Now, I'd like for you to look again at those six words in the middle of verse 14. where it says, always leads us in triumphal procession. It's six words in English, but it's only one word in the Greek language. Now, it's a big word, 19 letters, so I'm not going to try to pronounce it because I know you can spell it anyway. But it was a word that described something that happened many times in the Roman Empire. It was called a Roman triumph. It was like a triumphant parade. There's even, we have reliefs and statues that picture this procession of victory that was often enacted in Roman cities. In fact, we know from history that there were 320 different Roman triumphal processions in the history of the Roman Empire. Here's what would happen. When a Roman general would be all fighting a war, when he was victorious, immediately they would dispatch a runner who would run back to the next key city, whether it was Rome or Ephesus or Corinth, and that runner would run into the city and would announce that the Romans were victorious. And by the way, the word used for that runner who heralded the victory is the same word the New Testament uses for a preacher. That's what we do. We announce that the victory has been won. Well, whenever this announcement would be made, people would immediately begin to make preparations for a great victory parade because they knew it would be happening within a few days. Well, on the morning of the parade, see, nobody knew when it would be because they didn't have radio, television, or anything like that. But how would they know it was the day of the parade? Simple. On the morning of the parade, the Roman priest would take large quantities of a certain kind of incense and they would burn it, ignite it. And so when you woke up in the morning and you smelled a certain aroma in the air, you said, hot dog, we're going to have a victory parade today. Today we're going to have a victory celebration, and people would begin to line the streets waiting for the parade just like they do on Thanksgiving for the Macy's Day Parade. And when finally the entourage would arrive into the city, they followed a certain sequence. In the beginning of the parade would be the Roman priest swinging the censers, burning that incense. And we'll talk more about the fragrance next week when I talk about what's that fragrance you're wearing. That's the title for next Sunday. But then behind them would be the musicians. It's probably the forerunner to a marching band because they would be playing their music and attracting a lot of attention. And then behind them would be the victorious soldiers who would be carrying all the spoils of war, the treasures, the things they had captured. But then behind those soldiers, the climax, the focus of the parade would be the victorious Roman general. We got some rats up there that we're working on that. We call the pest control, so just don't pay any attention to that. We've had a little static in the first service, so ignore that if you can. So the Roman general who would be victorious would be in the chariot, and people would be cheering him and throwing flowers at him, and they would just be chanting his name over and over again. But then he would be leading the defeated officers of the enemy army. They would be chained to his chariot. And they would be walking along. Now, this was an amazing event. It really was. The chariot would usually be pulled by white horses. But history tells us, for instance, that when Pompey had his Roman triumph, his chariot was pulled by elephants. When Mark Antony's victory parade rode into Rome, his chariot was pulled by two lions. And Dionysius, trying to top both of them, his chariot was pulled by four tigers. You see, for these people who were being chained to the chariot and paraded through the city as defeated officials, it was a humiliating experience. By the way, you probably know from history that in 30 BC, Cleopatra committed suicide just to avoid the humiliation of being chained to the chariot of Octavian during this kind of celebration. So that's the scene, that's the word picture I need you to keep in your mind as we talk about this message, because that's what Paul meant. He said, thanks be to God who leads us in triumphant procession in Christ. With that background, let's take that verse apart starting at the end. Point number one, here are three truths. Number one, you need to understand that we are already victorious in Christ. We are already victorious in Christ. Look at the last two words in that verse. The Bible talks about the triumphal procession in Christ. You see, the Bible says it's not our victory we're fighting for. The victory has already been won by Jesus. You see, if you can come to understand that, you no longer have to try to struggle for victory in the Christian life. All you have to do is understand that you are led in the triumph, the victory of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem of a lot of Christians. A lot of Christians say, you know what? I'm going to go out there today and I'm going to win one for the Gipper. I mean, for the Lord. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to win against temptation. I'm going to win against the devil. I'm going to win against the world, the flesh. I'm going to win against discouragement and worry. And you struggle and you strive and you fight so hard. And then when you fail, you say, you know what? I'm just going to have to try a little harder. I'm just going to win a victory if it kills me. And sometimes it almost does kill you trying. And folks, the truth is the victory has already been won. The battle has already been won. And when was it won? At the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when he won the victory. Look at Colossians 2:15. This is the Message paraphrase. Think of it. All sins forgiven. The slate wiped clean. That old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. He stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority. Here's where it happened. At the cross, and marched them naked through the streets. You see, folks, as a Christian, I'm not fighting for victory, I'm fighting from victory, the victory that Jesus has already won on the cross. So the first thing I need you to understand is the key to the victorious life is understanding this. Here's the key, write it down. The battle isn't ours, it's the Lord's. The battle isn't ours, it's the Lord's. Now there's a tremendous story in the Bible that illustrates this truth perfectly. Most of you heard it when you were preschoolers in Sunday school. It's the story found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 of David and Goliath. You know, back then they must have fought funny wars, because if you know what happened in the background, little David was a shepherd boy. All of his older brothers were soldiers. And one day David's daddy said, "Son, I need you to take lunch, deliver lunch to your brothers at the battlefront." So David gathered up all the food. He was just acting like a pizza delivery guy. He was just delivering the food up there to his brothers. And as he's delivering the food, he notices that there's this 9-foot-tall giant who is blaspheming God and taunting the Israelite soldiers. And he just does it over and over again. And David says to his brothers, "Hey, why don't one of you guys go down there and take care of that guy?" And I can just imagine his brother saying, "Hey, you're just the pizza delivery guy. You don't know anything about warfare. Go back home and play your harp and write poetry. This is a job for real men." And David says, "I'll take him on." And they probably thought, "Well, it's been nice knowing you, brother. You know, you won't last 2 seconds against this guy." And the Bible says they even tried to put Saul's armor on David. And David was just a little guy. And Saul, the Bible says, stood head and shoulders above all the other Israelites, and that armor just swallowed him up. And so he said, "I don't need this armor." He said, "All I need is my sling, 5 smooth stones, and the power of God." So here goes little David walking out, and he faces Goliath, and David looks Goliath straight into the kneecaps. And this is what he said. It's right in the Bible. He says, "I'm about to kill you. Cut off your head and sever up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to God." Did you see that? The battle belongs to God, and he's handing you to us on a platter. So David took his slingshot and he slung it around and he let that stone go, and it hurled and hit Goliath right between the eyes, and Goliath collapsed like a sack of potatoes. And then David ran up and took that big sword and he decapitated Goliath right there, because he wanted to let everybody know he was a guy who knew how to get ahead. But it wasn't David that did it. He said, "It's not my battle anyway. It's the Lord's battle." And so here's what I want to say to you today. Some of you are facing some Goliaths. Some of you are facing some insurmountable odds. Some of you are facing some tough battles. But if you don't hear me say anything else today, hear me say the battle isn't yours. The battle is the Lord's. Turn to the person next to you and say, the battle isn't yours, it's the Lord's. Do that right now. And then turn to him and say, the Lord has never lost. So that's the first thing we learn, that we're already victorious in Christ. Here's the second truth. Number two, we secure our victory when we surrender. We secure our victory when we surrender. You say, okay, here's the picture. I know the commanding general is Jesus, King Jesus, the captain of our salvation. Where am I in this picture, Pastor? Am I somebody on the sidelines cheering and throwing confetti and throwing roses? No. Notice what it says there. It's on the text. It says, who leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. We're the ones who are being led. Now, you may not like this picture very much, folks, but in this beautiful word picture of the Christian life, we are the ones who are chained to the chariot. Now, I want to kind of demonstrate this to you a little bit here. Mike's going to help me here. Mike, would you help me again? You know, we're going to let Mike be Jesus. Now, he's not Jesus, but he's pretty Christ-like. That's for sure. And I just kind of want to show you what happens. I'm chained to Mike. And just imagine that he's commanding general. He's won the victory and he's riding along in his chariot. So giddy up there, Mike. What I want you to see is wherever he goes, I'm going to go. Kind of like wherever he leads, I'll go, right? I have no choice in the matter. But now there's a couple of things you can know about these officers who were chained to the chariot. Number one, they were either going to go die or they were going to become slaves. And isn't that true of the Christian life? Paul says, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. And he called himself a slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one other thing I want you to notice about this. Walk a little further there, Mike. You know, wherever I find myself, my king, my commander, my captain has already been before me. If I am chained to his chariot. Thank you, Mike. Now, you may not like that picture very much, but that's who we are. That's the picture that Paul said. He said, you know what? Paul was saying, one time I was an enemy of Jesus. I was fighting against God, and he literally was, because he was having Christians put to death. And then one day, according to Acts chapter 9, he was on the road to Damascus, and God just broke into his life and just knocked him down blind. And this is what Jesus said. He said, Saul, Saul, why are you fighting against me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting. And from that moment on, this is what Paul said. His name was Saul. It later became Paul. He said, Lord, what would you have me do? In other words, he was surrendering to Jesus. At that moment, he was no longer an enemy. He was a defeated enemy, and he became captured by Jesus. Now, folks, the Bible says in Colossians 1:21 that you and I, at one time, we were alienated from God, enemies in our minds. So we were the enemies of God, and we have to be captured and conquered by him in order for us to experience victory. There's a verse here I want you to see, 1 John 5:5-6. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Now, a lot of people only read that first line. Look at it again. The first line says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And they think, well, that's it. All I have to do is have more faith. If I want more victory, I just have to have more faith. Well, no, not at all. You can have a lot of faith in the wrong thing, and it's worthless. What's better is to have a little bit of faith, even a mustard seed size faith in Jesus Christ. And that's plenty of faith to make you victorious. That's why it says, look at the last part of that verse, only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. And so that's what Paul did. And the way he was chained to the chariot was because he had surrendered. Folks, the way you win in the Christian life is to surrender. A few years ago, I did a whole series called Surrender to Win. You know what the universal sign of surrender is for soldiers or other people? They walk out with their hands like this because they're saying, there's nothing in my hands. I'm not hiding a weapon. I surrender to you. It reminds me of the third verse of that beautiful song, Rock of Ages. It says, nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. That's the only way you can come to Jesus empty-handed, surrendering to him. And so the Bible says if you believe Jesus is the Son of God, then you can surrender to Him and He can become your Lord. So let's just have a little survey time right here. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, would you raise your right hand and keep it up? Hold it up. All right, that's most of you. If you have surrendered to Jesus as Lord, would you hold up your left hand? There you have it. Say, I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender to you. That's what it is. And when you surrender to Jesus, you become chained to His chariot. Now, here's a principle you got to understand. Ready? This is next on your outline. If I want to be a conqueror, I must first be conquered. We're going to read just a moment about how we're supposed to be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. But before you can ever become an overcomer, you have to be overcome by Jesus. Before you can be a master, you have to be mastered by Jesus. Before you can have authority in Jesus' name, you must be under the authority of Jesus. And before you can become a conqueror in Jesus' name, you must first be conquered. Now, that's what we call a paradox. You know what a paradox is? It's not a couple of pediatricians. A paradox is a statement that on the surface sounds to be absurd, but when you dig a little deeper, it contains profound truth. Jesus said to save your life, you got to lose it. That doesn't make sense. It's a paradox. He said, if you want to receive, give. Give, and it'll be given unto you. That's a paradox. And the paradox of this is if you want to live, you must die. Die to self. And if you want to win, the only way you can win is by surrendering. Now, I mentioned to you that Ron Dunn, one of my spiritual mentors, preached a message called Chained to the Chariot hundreds of times all over the country. And he tells a story about one night in Florida, he had preached this message, Chained to the Chariot. And after the message, a man came up to him and said, Brother Ron, that was a great sermon. I really liked it. Ron said, well, thank you. He said, but there was one thing about it that I didn't like. Ron said, what was that? The man said, I didn't like that business about being chained to the chariot. And I think if you took that part out, it would be a good message. And Ron said, that's not part of the message. That is the message. If you take that out, there's nothing left. That's the whole point. And the man said, well, I know, but you know, it seems so humiliating and degrading to talk about being chained to a chariot. And Ron said, absolutely. That's it. You must humble yourself before God. Because you see, folks, you know what most of us want to do? We don't want to be chained. We want to ride up in the chariot, don't we? We want to ride up there with the Lord. After all, we think the Lord needs our help. We sometimes don't think He knows where He's going, don't we? We want to get up there and say, hey, Lord, you're not going fast enough. Can't you put your pedal to the metal here? Or we want to say, Lord, this road's too bumpy. Why don't you go over to that road because it's a lot smoother? Or, Lord, we've been going too long. We need to stop and take a picnic break or something like that. But, folks, I'm here to tell you the chariot is a one-seater, okay? That's for Jesus and Jesus alone. And our job is to stay chained to the chariot. And here's the third thing I want to share with you. First of all, we are already victorious in Christ. Number two, we secure our victory when we surrender. But number three, we can experience victory in every situation of life. We can experience victory in every situation of life. Look at that whole verse again. But thanks be to God who leads us. Wait a minute, I think I skipped a word there. Let me start over. But thanks be to God who leads us. Wait a minute, isn't there a word in there that I'm skipping? Always, that's the key. It doesn't say most of the time, some of the time, part of the time. It says, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads most places, some places, a few places, no, everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of Him. Now, what Paul is saying here is, you know what? This victory that we experience, it's for every situation of life. It's for always and everywhere. What is always? That's a statement about time. Everywhere, that's a statement about space. We are creatures of time and space. That covers it all. In other words, the Bible says whatever situation you find yourself in, always, every time, all the time, you name the time, you have victory. Wherever you are, this place, that place, you name the place, any place, every place, the fragrance of the knowledge of Christ is going to be spread around. So it's for any situation in life. Let me just remind you again of the context here. The context here, Paul was struggling. He was frustrated. He felt like a failure. He was fatigued. He was tired. But yet in the midst of all of it, he uses that little word, B-U-T. Isn't that a good word? B-U-T. It's a conjunction that changes direction of a thought. Things are going bad. I feel frustrated. I feel like a failure. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ. You know what the Bible says we are? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, not in most of these things, in some of these things, in a few of these things. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And that word in the Greek is hyper Nike, just like the athletic company. That's what it is. We are hyper victors, hyper victorious through him who loved us. Now, here's the problem, folks. The Bible has this picture of a victorious Christian, more than conquerors, chained to the chariot. But the problem is we don't see very many victorious Christians as we look around. In other words, our pictures don't match the picture that the Bible paints of the victorious Christian. Kind of reminds me of something happened a few months ago. I was flying to another city to speak in another church, and a pastor was supposed to meet me at the airport, and we'd never met before, but he had my picture. So I just assumed he would come up and identify himself to me. But I got there to the airport. I went down to the baggage claim area, and nobody ever approached me or anything, so I had his cell phone number. So I called him on my cell phone, and I heard a phone ring right across the baggage area, and that was the pastor. So he walked over to me, holding my picture and apologizing, and this is what he said. Has anybody ever said this to you? He said, I'm sorry, but you don't look much like your picture. And immediately I said, well, that's okay. That picture was taken when I was much older. He didn't get it either, some of you. But he apologized because he said, you didn't look like your picture. But then when he compared it, I guess so. The problem we have today is the Bible says this is what a victorious Christian looks like. And then you put beside what most of us look like in terms of our relationship to Jesus Christ, and the pictures don't match. The reason is there's few of us that are willing to just chain ourselves to the chariot. We want to ride up front. Here's the final secret I want to share with you. The secret is this. To live victoriously, I only have to stay chained to his chariot. To live victorious, I only have to stay chained to his chariot. And I want to just say again that this message on being chained to the chariot that I heard probably almost 30 years ago is probably the reason I'm here today. Because you see, early on in my ministry, when I was a young pastor, I thought it was my job to build the church of Jesus Christ. I felt responsible for everything that took place in the little church I was a pastor. And I looked at the attendance numbers, and if we didn't have as many in attendance as we did last week or a year ago, I felt responsible, and I thought I had to work harder to make that happen. I thought it was my church, and it was my job to build that church. And so I was just really almost just wearing myself out. I literally was so frustrated that I really was considering just getting out of the ministry in my mid-20s, just going into another job because I was so frustrated, so tired in the ministry. And then I heard a message from Ron Dunn along these lines, and I began to understand, well, you know what? My job is not to build Jesus' church. My job is just to stay chained to the chariot. And I can remember going off on a little study retreat like I do every year and just reading through Matthew 16. And I read these words and they jumped off the page like I'd never read them before, where Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. And when I read that, I just said out loud to the Lord, I said, well, wait a minute, Lord. I thought I was supposed to build my church. And here you say, you're going to build your church. Is that right? And in my spirit, he said, that's right. It's not your church. It's my church. You can't build my church, only I can build my church. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was a real huge turning point in my ministry when I began to understand that my only job is to stay faithful to God, to stay chained to the chariot. In fact, not long ago, I had a seminary student interview me here in my office, and I guess he was interviewing pastors of big churches around the nation, and he asked me a question that I had to think about for a second. He says, as a pastor, what is your number one priority? And I could have said, preaching the word, visiting the lost, providing a vision of leadership. But I thought for a moment, I said, you know what? My number one priority is to abide in Christ, to stay filled with His Holy Spirit. And I said, and even to stay chained to the chariot, because I know that when I'm chained to the chariot, I am following Jesus. And wherever He goes, I go. And wherever He has victory, I have victory. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I pray God will take this message and put it in your heart, and you'll come to understand what it means to stay chained to the chariot of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, thank You for allowing me to share this message that means so much to my heart. And I pray that someone today will have understood a little bit more about how we can have victory through surrender to You. Father, sometimes we want to be in charge, and when we do, we just mess it up. So, Father, we just want to acknowledge again that You are the King, You're the Lord, You're the victor, and all we want to do is follow along in Your victory train. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.